Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Good evening, Lewis.
Hello, Daniel. How the hell are you?
Okay, it's been a very, very lazy summer, as in we've been lazy by not putting out a podcast.
That's right. Yeah, but you know what? There's not been a lot going on in the news. There's not been much happening internationally, at home. It's all been pretty quiet, so not much for us to report on.
I think the last time I recognised anything in the news was sometime well before October 7th. That was the last time I recognised anything in the news. So let me know if anything's happened since then, because I'm not a subscriber of any news providers.
It was a smart time for us to just turn off all screens, unsubscribe to all papers, and pop back on now without reading anything.
Well, it has been a big few months of silence from us, but we are back. We're determined to do at least five or six of these in a row, once a week up until the next couple of months. And we've got a ton of Patreon subscribers who we need to give a shout out to, because they all jumped on after our millionth download episode. So big thank you to clocking in at $3 a month. Thank you to Jackie, Andrea Chi, Sarah Middleton. I don't know if she's related to Kate Middleton. Maybe that is Kate Middleton.
She knows the truth.
She knows the real truth. Yeah, exactly. Trisha, Paul, Adam X, Sonia Street, that sounds like a lawyer, doesn't it? Robin Donovan, Mikhail Kaufman, Bruce Angus, Roland Walker, Militia, Peter Smith. I don't know if that's the famous Pete Smith
speaking.
From phrases such as Pete Smith speaking. Who knows? Good on you, Peter, for signing up. $10 a month. Big thank you to E.F. Shep and Jane Holloway signing up, who were desperate to hear whatever Richard Feidler had to say on our show. I forget. I was in a delirium. If you want to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com and sign up at Irrational Fear there. Also, you can subscribe to Apple subscriptions. That way you get an ad-free version of the show, so you don't have to listen to ads.
That's great. Either way, it's good. Ads, no ads. It's still a wonderful podcast. And you know what? This is like the scarcity model that we've been running this podcast at over summer. It's sort of like when the iPhone isn't expected to do well, they'll only put out like 10 of them, and then they're like, oh my God, the iPhone sold out. It's so great. And then we're like that. We're like, oh, they can't do any more Irrational Fear. They're too hot.
Scarcity of sleep, I think. We're too tired. Yeah. We're too tired to do it.
Yeah.
Well, please enjoy this very, very valuable episode.
Well, it's rare. This is a diamond. We might never do this again.
I'm recording my end of Irrational Fear on Gundungurra land. Let's start the show.
The following program contains rude words like Mark Latham, blockchain, and Twitter. Irrational Fear recommends listening by immature audiences. Comedians, experts, laughing at the world as it burns down around us. This is...
Are you ready?
A Rational Fear.
Tonight, Clarence House apologises for photoshopping a photo of Princess Catherine's family, but still no apology from Clarence House for erasing Diana. And the Pope says Ukrainians should be courageous and surrender in the face of Putin, a very similar vibe to when my parish priest whispered in my 8-year-old ear that I was a good, courageous boy surrendering to God. And the Tasmanian Premier has promised a $12 million chocolate fountain if re-elected. He also promised Coca-Cola and the Bubblers. It's the 13th of March, 2024, and with a better open door policy than a Boeing 737, this is Irrational Fear.
This is Irrational Fear.
Welcome to Irrational Fear. I'm your host, the recently appointed board member for OpenAI, Dan Illich, and this is the podcast that takes the news and gives it a little bit of a tickle. And we're warming up with this 5-episode streak with a great interview with a couple of people who are no strangers to getting into trouble. But before we do that, let's introduce our co-host. Joining us, as almost always, is a full-time dad and new participant in the content creator economy, Lewis Hobber. Welcome, Lewis.
Thank you, Dan. It's great to be here. Yes, as you say, I'm off the teat of the government, off the teat of the ABC. Obviously, I have a baby who's on the teat, so I'm not teat-free in my lifestyle completely. There's still teats getting around. But yeah, no, nice to be out here trying to just gobble down some of that corporate cash.
And joining us on the podcast are two successful content creators themselves who've built themselves an epic following thanks to their adventures around democracy, civics, smashing capitalism. It's the co-hosts of the YouTube channel, Boy Boy, Alex Apolinov and Alexa Vulovich. Welcome, Boy Boy, to Irrational Fear.
Hello, thanks for having us. This place is lovely. It's beautiful. It looks like my house.
It's really great to have you guys because you've been so successful in kind of doing what, you know, Lewis and I have previously done on television in a way that is so thought-provoking and interesting, but online to much greater success.
Yeah, that's it. It's different numbers on YouTube though. Like, I feel like 1 million views on YouTube is what the equivalent of like 50,000 on the ABC.
Oh, great. Oh, that's great. So,
there are like a million YouTubers right now who have never got 1 million who are just dying hearing you say that. They're like, I'll just quit and kill myself.
See, I'm the other way around. I have this illusion that like very important people watch the TV and like only just like shit kickers like me watch the internet.
Well, old people. It's like in like 10 years there'll be no one left. So at the moment there are still like, you know, there are very few people still watching the TV, but They're dying out. Their irrelevance is assured.
Mm-hmm. The stat is absolutely incredible. I saw this thing on Mumbrella where it said, last week on Australian TV, more than 50% of Australians under 40 did not touch the brands that are traditional TV providers, either online or on terrestrial. So that's like more than half of the country just isn't watching TV. That's incredible.
Hot damn.
So look, when we think about like, The TV viewer is way under, like, is like 40 is old, and like no one's watching TV under that. Is under 40. Like that's wild. That's wild.
It's kind of beautiful.
Yeah. So don't.
It's wild, says the person who's made most of his career in television. It's kind of beautiful, says Alex, who's making an incredible career on YouTube. It is, and look. Part of the reason why we wanted to get you guys on is you've recently had this video out. A few days ago when I reached out to you, I think it only had 50,000 views, but now it's gotten 2 million views in about 5 days. That's pretty wild. And essentially you snuck into Pine Gap, which is, for people who don't know, is a super secret CIA base in the middle of Australia that Australians pretty much don't get to go into at all. This is absolutely incredible. Tell us, why did you choose this as a stunt to pull for Boy Boy?
It was really the only giant CIA base we had access to. were a lot harder to. You had to get a visa to go to the other ones.
There is another one though. There's one in like Exmouth.
That's like a joint naval base. There's a bunch of weird bases here. Yeah.
Gitmo wasn't on your list.
Oh, it will be. I think we're going there after this video.
Right.
When we go back to America, we're getting detained.
Yeah, every time I hear a police siren come past here, I'm just like, Guantanamo Bay's next. I'm heading there.
What's it like? Like, for people who haven't seen the video, what's the security like? How hard is it to get into Pine Gap?
kind of easy.
It's weird. I feel like we would have gotten further if we weren't very obviously filming what we were doing.
So what happened was we put on suits, and our kind of idea was if we pretend we're working there, we'll kind of pull up with a van, and they don't get many protesters, so they'll just let us in. So when we first got up to the gate, they opened the first gate for us. Yeah. So then we entered the base, so that was technically in the base and trespassing. Then we got to the second gate. And Alexa spoke to the guy and he opened the second gate for us.
It's very bizarre. Also, we picked the right time. It was like, I don't know, early in the morning. Everyone's rocking up in like a convoy, really drowsy, like, oh, another day, like running the world. It's so boring.
Another day reading Australians' emails.
Yeah. And I think everyone was just kind of going business as usual. We're all wearing suits, which actually wasn't what the spies were wearing there. No. Everyone was dressed much more casual than we were, which probably the first giveaway.
No, that maybe that's why he opened the gate. He saw us and was like,
Mr. President.
The president.
The big dogs are here.
Yeah.
On this podcast, we try to talk about a whole bunch of things like power, democracy, climate change. Sometimes we talk about Gwyneth Paltrow. One of the topics that has a reoccurring theme is sovereignty. There's kind of this open question about Australia and the forces that control our country. It's so weird. Like on paper, Australia is somehow like owned by the King of England. Financially, it's owned by the Chinese economy. But militarily, Australia is owned by the United States, and we are tied to this country through the ANZUS Treaty.
Mm.
It's funny because NZ is in the ANZUS Treaty, the name, but they actually left the treaty like in the 80s because they didn't like the way that the US decided to have nuclear ships go through their harbors. So they were like, no, we're out of here, no more, we're going. But still, the name kind of implies that New Zealand is part of this.
Do you reckon they were like, they hit up like Zambia? Any other Z country be like, guys, we've got this, we've had all the t-shirts made. Can you guys come into this treaty? Get Zanzibar on the phone.
And it's kind of like this weird kind of treaty. It's like it's a few hundred words, and there's this one line that every Australian politician kind of relies on to kind of link Australia's security to America. And it's in Article 4. And The Treaty of ANZUS says basically that each party declares that it would act to meet the common danger. That's the sentence that underpins all of our security.
I've heard that
declares
sentence.
That it would act to meet the common danger. There's no inference about military action or what kind of action.
I'm pretty sure what common. Room. I'm pretty sure I heard that sentence before on Lord of the Rings. Isn't that when the fellowship, the first one?
That is the line.
Yeah.
Declares that it would act to meet the common danger. You have my axe.
Because at the moment you'd be like, what, lime scooters? Like what is the
what's the common danger? The sharks? Is that, that's what it is.
Mm.
Yeah. And who's going to do the acting? Daniel Day-Lewis? Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a great actor.
I mean,
but what if he's not available?
Yeah, he's cut above. We'd have to find someone who's, you know, not nominated for any awards.
What's interesting is the length you go to kind of explain the lack of Australian sovereignty. What kind of surprised you putting this video together?
Honestly, like I, you know, had this vague idea about, you know, America being in control of things over here, but it is just creepy. Like the more you look into it, I feel like a QAnon or some kind of like basement dwelling conspiracy theorist, like the more things you unearth, you're like, oh, this is fucking terrifying. I hate this. Like I remember in high school we learned about Gough Whitlam's dismissal and pretty basic understanding of like he couldn't get supply through the Senate and all this kind of like
the Governor General.
And like, look, I mean, this is the point I'm making in the video. I'm sure people disagree, but there's a lot of links to the CIA in that whole process. He was ruffling a lot of feathers in America. He wanted to close Pine Gap. It doesn't matter. Yeah, there were a lot of issues. A lot of people took umbrage with his
direction. They just thought he was a dirty commie, really. He was in with the left-wing revolution of the time. And I'll say it, they got rid of him.
There you go.
Which is strange that it's controversial to say that.
We've had Ray Martin on the show before and he was telling us he did an interview with a former CIA director and his reels, because they were film reels back then, went missing. Like
oh my God.
After he did the interview, they went missing completely after it. And he flew back for the dismissal, and he reckons that the only reason why we have footage of...
Dan's gone.
The CIA got him. No. No. He was just about to spill the beans.
Someone, at least someone from Pine Gap is listening. It's always good to have a new listener, wherever they're from.
That must be the $10 Patreon. That's CIA money.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, hello. You're back.
So Ray was saying that the only reason why we have any footage from the Gough Whitlam dismissal at all is because the ABC Entertainment Unit filmed it with Norman Gunston.
Yeah, that's right.
And every other single tape or reel went missing from the other networks. So there was actually no other record from any other television networks of that time because those tapes went missing. But the CIA didn't bother to look in the comedy department at the ABC. And that's why this Norman Gunston tape is so famous, so that, and because it's the only footage that exists of that part of the dismissal.
This is the thing, though. If the CIA tried to look in the ABC's comedy department now, there's nothing there. No one left.
One of the parts of the video that I thought was so extraordinary, before you even went to Pine Gap, you'd landed, you were meeting people and finding out what you could from the locals about Pine Gap. And they were like, oh, you don't want to go there. But one of my favorite parts is you went to a pub where you thought a lot of Americans just might hang out, like a really shitty pub, and you met people that worked at Pine Gap.
Yeah, that was...
And they proudly told you where they were.
That was hilarious because it was a casino and we were like, surely this isn't going to work. We're like spy movies.
Like James Bond's always in a casino, you know?
And then literally the only people playing what card games were...
Americans. And like at first we're like, oh, it's just a coincidence. It's just people with American accents. You know, they exist in the world.
You're like, it's just a coincidence that there's a guy there with an eye patch stroking a white cat. Honestly, it's not a big deal.
But what was dumb was they were really willing to just divulge
information. I hate it. I kind of...
It was actually just like, please stop telling me.
Yeah,
I can't even repeat it.
It's like, this was meant to be a gag and now you fucking idiots have just like said all this stuff to me and now I'm scared. Like, why?
It's really funny. It's because spies don't exist in normal lives of people. So when you do meet a spy and you just talk to them, they just kind of tell you stuff. It's not like a James Bond movie where they're being sneaky. We just kind of ask them. They're like, yeah, here you go.
I work here. Yeah.
They seem to be so proud of it and they were like boasting to you that they were spies. They were trying to impress you.
I mean, it was impressive. It was terrifying.
They were good at gambling as well.
Yeah, yeah. They had that craps table under control.
It'd be very funny if that's just the only casino in the world where the house doesn't win. They're just like, what's going on? They're like, well, we have this underground base where we're basically training freaks to count cards.
That's why we won.
I met a guy in San Francisco who had a shaved head at a party once. He was a Marine and recently got back from Australia. I'm like, so you just got back from Australia? He's like, yeah, I was working. I was like, oh, where were you working? Oh, right in the middle of Australia. I'm like, oh, were you working at Pine Gap? And he looked at me and said, how did you know about that? I know about Pine Gap.
Yeah, it's not actually a secret. What you do there is a secret, but we've heard of the place.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I found weird about the video because, like, it's such a big deal, like, the place itself. It's quite, like, vital to the US, you know, spies on this half of the world. But, like, the amount of comments from just Aussies being like, I've never heard of this place before in my life. It's quite bizarre how little it's talked about, how like it's just a non-event. It's not an important place.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that a lot of Australians don't know that Pine Gap exists or that we have this incredible CIA base?
I actually think there's a divide with ages as well. I think older people are way more aware of it, maybe because of that shitty series ABC, Pine Gap, whatever.
People watching TV.
Yeah, people watching TV.
That was Netflix.
Was that Netflix?
If we learn anything today, it's that people over the age of 40 might know about Pine Gap because they saw it on an ABC TV show.
And also the hippies back in the day when there was actually some protest to it.
Yeah.
And now it's just kind of been forgotten.
Well, also, I mean, like, I guess, you know, Gough Whitlam made it front and center news for a period of time and people were around then and they remember it. But like, yeah, I think he paid the price for talking about it too much and No one really wants to do that.
One of the things I loved about this video is that you not only tried to go into Pine Gap once, you decided to go a few times. And you even dressed up with a big trench coat.
This is like
on top of each other's shoulders.
This is what I used to do when I was drunk going out in Geelong underage. And they said no. I was like, I'll just change my jacket and come back.
Did it work?
No, never worked. Oh,
thought we could use that for our next video.
Hang on. Yeah.
If you were to do it again, would you take less costumes is probably my question.
It's a spy base. They love costumes.
Exactly.
I think the best way to actually do it would be the Chaser APEC
stuff. Oh, like actually try to look like
get it. A convoy. I think being young is a problem. We needed an old driver. And then kind of just acting like you're very important.
I mean, part of the thing was as well that like we also kind of didn't want to get it. Like yeah. we were very excited but also terrified. And it's like we don't want to be too convincing because like we're going to end up in this CIA black site and it's like people don't want to be in there.
Yeah, and that's like when they opened the second gate, we had talked about it before. We were like, if we get in through the first gate, do not go through the second gate because if we get past that, the only thing left is the big balls and the American soldiers with guns.
Well, I think one of the really fucked things about doing this on YouTube is that when you have like a car full of YouTubers, it's just like everyone's egging each other on to do something stupider than the last person.
Like, quick, eat a hot chili.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Should have had that.
We cut that from the final video. That's a Patreon exclusive. But it's a... Yeah, that's why we kept coming back. It's like we left and, you know, we got detained there for however long, like a couple of hours, and then we left. And we were like, is that enough? Like, is that sneaking in? I don't know if it's sneaking. Let's try again. And then we just kept having the same conversation every couple of hours, being like, that's not going to make the video. We needed to do a fourth one.
Someone needs to get arrested or shot. Like, come on.
I really enjoyed it because as someone who knows the kind of boundaries of surveillance device legislation in Australia, Alexa, I was really attuned to the fact that you were recording audio but not video when you went into the gate the second time because the sign did say no video recording but didn't stipulate no audio recording.
It's beautiful. It's so nice. And also like putting an animation on top of it instead of using video footage is just cooler. We all become hotter when we're drawn.
And funnier. And,
yeah.
You can exaggerate our jokes. It's
yeah,
great.
It's just better not to film anything, really.
Not getting through the front gate, you then dressed up as a funny costume, but then, you know, threw that away. And then you decided to accidentally kick your soccer ball over the fence and go and collect it. And then there was this beautiful scene where the three of you, because Friendly Geordies was with you as well, were traipsing through the outback and then you simultaneously all chickened out at the same time.
Yeah. Well, the closer we got, we realised that we were coming directly onto the back of a firing range and it's not...
Like even not as a CIA base, just in the most like the suburban firing range, you don't want to show up on the range unannounced.
On the
like,
back of it.
Yeah.
And because you assume it's the outback, you're like, they don't have the same kind of rules and restrictions of where this can be. It's like we could have totally just unexploded bombs.
Oh, that's the whole thing.
So many things. Who knows what they're doing there. This is stupid.
But no, it was mainly the gunshots. Like, and the closer we went, the louder they got. So it's like slowly, like our appetite for risk, like got lower and lower.
I think that's for the best. I mean, I don't know if you've ever spoken to the Chaser guys about their stunt, but they had no plan for getting through. Like, all of their plans were for getting turned away at the first gate, and they're usually very well planned, but they just hadn't. They were like, there's no, we just will get turned away. It's like, we're dressed as Osama. It's a bad beard. Like, it's not happening. And they fucking panicked. Like, if you talk to any of the people who were in that crew, they knew there were snipers on the roof. They hadn't come up with a plan. So at least you'd come up with a plan, like, don't go through the second gate.
Yeah. just stop. Yeah, no, it's fucked.
Yeah, you think they would have kind of changed their security after that stunt as well, though. Like, like just Americans.
It's so insane that, like, there's bigger security at the Jetstar terminal than there is at Pine Gap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've struggled. We've tried numerous videos getting into that place.
It's hard.
Jetstar always wins.
When you left your plane from Alice Springs, you landed back in Sydney and you got pulled off the plane by AFP and you had this weird interaction where you didn't give them any information. You asked if you're under arrest. They said you're not under arrest, and then you guys walked away. Have you heard anything more from AFP about this particular incident?
Fingers crossed. Not yet. Hopefully never. That being said, I don't know how diligent they are. Like, it took the police maybe 2 years to rock up to your house for your...
Oh, it was 5 years.
For the tampon gun.
Yeah, I made a video where I made a gun that shoots tampons. So technically it's a firearm. And for some reason it took the police 5 years to rock up. They showed up to my mum's house with pictures of the kind of schematics of how it worked, and they asked to find it. And I was like, no, I destroyed this 4 years ago and it didn't even work properly. It was two female cops as well.
They were just like, this seems like it could be useful for women. The Australian government must destroy it.
It sounds like it'd be like a really great, you know, you go to the basketball, you get a t-shirt gun. That sounds like it'd be a great thing, you know, at sports events.
It was very fun because it made a hole in things, but it also plugged it up at the same time. So it was like a Band-Aid gun. Yeah, so I think it might
We got 5 years to see what happens.
Yeah.
But
I don't know if I've just turned into like a paranoid freak now, though.
It's destroyed.
We've had police come to this house probably five times since then, but not for us. They're just like, can we check the security footage? And I'm like, sure.
Yeah, like, we've slowly stopped letting them do that. But
so often, every single week.
Yeah.
Maybe there's like another group of sort of rabble-rousing YouTubers in the house next door. Like, these guys broke into Guantanamo and we might have footage of them on your cameras.
I think it's more likely just bikies. I think it's bikie activity.
But honestly, when we were going to the airport and we got taken off the plane by the federal police, that was probably the best thing that could have happened for the video. I mean, it was like a little bit scary, but it's like a baffling move because, I mean, they made this big spectacle, which is very fun to watch. The people on YouTube would very much be excited to see us getting pulled off a plane. And then they took us to the front and just to like, okay, see you later.
hope we've given you a good end for the video.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
That got us off the plane first. It was amazing.
We didn't have to do priority.
We got to get our baggage, walk off in front of the people in first class and be like, see you later. Yeah, police escort off the plane.
It was so painful as well because everyone had already gotten up. All these like sly people had gotten up and gotten all their bags like ready to run off, and they had to like force them back down to get us.
Hello, Nova. Did your planes come off? Jordan Shanks and Aliska Veluko.
They can't almost pronounce your name right.
That means I don't have to come off.
If you are on board, just make your way forward to the front of the cabin.
What was also really funny, I don't know if it was just a coincidence, but the man that we spoke to at the gate of Pine Gap, as we were getting on the plane at Alice Springs, we turned around on the runway and he was directly behind us. So we were like, either he's following us or he's a fly-in, fly-out worker.
Probably the latter.
Or he's been fired, let's be honest. Yeah.
Probably.
What do you mean he was on the runway? Like he
was behind us.
Oh, like as in you go on the runway to get on up the stairs.
Aboard the plane.
He was on the same plane ever.
And we were taking some selfies because we were just like, we have to document this fucking person is here. But I honestly think he was just a guy going home.
But then the fact we're put off the plane, I was like, it was odd.
It's a weird thing, right? Because like you're in Australia, you're meeting American spies, like other countries' spies. You're trying to get into another country's base. Mm. It's not like, doesn't feel like it's part of the AFP's jurisdiction to do anything with you.
Yeah, like, no. It's, I mean, I would rather have the AFP come after me than than the CIA, but you know, it is very odd that they're doing all this at the behest of like a foreign power. It's like that.
Yeah. And then they also don't know what happens there, which is even stranger. You think that if it was you're guarding this base, you would have some understanding of what goes on there.
Maybe that's why they arrested you. They're like, tell us what happened there. Yeah. No, like, just between us.
What's going on? Well, that was the best thing because at the front gate, the security is also AFP. And the guy who was kind of detaining us there, it was quite funny. He kind of like made a joke. We're like, what goes on in there? He's like, I don't know. I'm not important enough to find out. And it's just, I don't know. It's a great kind of picture of the situation. We're just kind of like, I don't know, guarding this base in our own country and no one knows what it is, what's going on in there.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Great. That's so good. In 2016, I worked for Fusion in America and we did a shoot in Utah and we interviewed a Republican nominee who was going to go run against Trump. And then we had some time in our hands. We had a whole day up our sleeves. So we decided to go to Oak Bluffs, which is the big NSA data center in the middle of Utah, just about 30 Ks out of Salt Lake City. And the joke was that I was going to take a hard drive, some USB sticks and some DVDs and go and get Hillary's emails because if anyone had a backup of Hillary's emails, it would have been the NSA. And we drove in and like you, I was very cautious of signs and recording and things like that. And we drove in, we went past one sign that said guests and visitors and authorized people only. And we were like, oh, well, we could be a visitor.
You could be a guest.
So we drove in. We could be a guest, yeah. And then there was another sign saying no cameras, no recording. Then we turned around to that sign. So we got to the second sign, we turned around. And when we turned around, we had all of a sudden a huge car behind us honk its horn, race down the driveway and come up behind us. And we had a state trooper from Utah come up the driveway in front of us and wedge us with the car up front and car behind. And I had my producer was recording and I was like, oh, I'm here to get Hillary's emails. I've got a USB stick. And he's like, oh yeah, okay. And I said, if you don't have the technology, maybe just a DVD. You can just burn me a quick DVD. He's like, are you making fun of America's capability, sir? And I was like, no. And he actually had me like shitting my pants. I did all the comedy jokes I could. But I really felt for you, Alexa, because I'd been in that exact same situation.
I was
not the sovereign identity. I was the person that was the spy.
Oh my god!
Anyway, that never made it onto YouTube.
It's terrifying. I honestly think we would have cracked if it was an American accent, not an Australian accent.
Well, Americans don't joke around. That's the thing. Like whenever you deal with what's it called? TSA.
Or like the border security in
border
America.
Security, they are so staunch. Brutal. And like cops in America, there's no like, you know, Australian cops would be like, oh, how you going? Like kind of light. American cops are just
they're
like,
you know, they're naughty here too, but at least they pretend to be a normal person.
Yeah. Yeah, we got swatted in America.
Oh my God.
You got swatted in America?
We got swatted. Yeah. And it was just fucked because there's no talking to these men that are here. They like come with triggers, fingers on the trigger, pointing guns at you. Fucking terrifying. And I was just like, this was in Australia. A cop would come to the door and like knock and be like, what's happening? You know, not just come guns drawn, pointing at you.
Fuck. So when you opened the door, what were you looking at?
Luckily our friend had opened the door. It was his house. He was kind of like talking quite loudly with them and we thought he was like joking around with some friends and we had just been to like, we'd just been to like an anime expo earlier.
So we were dressed up as samurais. So we had swords.
No. And so Alex starts like running out with his katana.
I thought it would be funny because I thought he was joking with the mate. I picked up the sword and started to run outside. Luckily he turned around and saw me and was like, put down the sword.
It's America. They don't fuck around.
Yeah. And it was horrible out there. There was like nine guys just all with their guns pointed at us. Like I'm coming out of the house with my hands up, terrified. And like, it's frightening. And then after a couple of minutes of like discussions and then they go in like search the house and do all their things. After a while they're like, okay, you can put your hands down. And I was like, no, I've never, was, I'm, my hands was, are up forever.
It like was I, so good. He stood with his hands. He didn't even have them up. He just had a T-pose. He stood like that for 15 minutes.
Yeah, there's no way.
Refusing
there's no,
to put them down.
That's actually a good workout. That's just good.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
That's fucking crazy. You just went full fucking Leroy Jenkins with the resort.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know they were cops. It was a friend.
But, oh, my God.
That was horrible.
So I think American police are very different.
Yeah.
Very serious.
They don't like it when people dressed as samurais charge at them with swords.
Yeah, what is that? What's up with that?
Yeah, what is up with that?
please, if you are wanting to see more, head on over to the show notes and click the link and check out Boy Boy's video where they do get booted from Pine Gap. It's very, very entertaining. One of our Patreon subscribers has a bunch of questions for you. Ooh. I think we've answered a few of them, but these come from Dim Simple. Obvious one, did you get your ball back?
No. I really want it back, but I understand, speaking to my lawyer, I understand the risk of inciting others to get the ball for us. If there was some other way we could get the ball back, that would be really nice. It wasn't a cheap ball. It was like 40, 50 bucks.
Wasn't it like branded like Lamborghini?
It was a Lamborghini branded ball.
I didn't even know they existed.
It was the only one we could buy in Alice Springs.
Full black leather.
Yeah.
Huh. Number two, like any further events or repercussions from that moment?
Not really, apart from like mental health repercussions. Like the first like couple of weeks after it were terrifying. Like we were leaving our phones in separate rooms and talking in the kitchen, and I don't know, it was just, yeah, it was awful.
Yeah.
But
What date did you actually record it? Like how long ago was it?
It was actually a while back. It was we recorded it at the end of September last year.
And so then you guys are about to do a podcast, this is what our video upload schedule is like.
I mean, probably like 70% of it was laziness, but 30% of it was like legitimate legal fears. Like we had to have a lot of conversations with our lawyer before we had a piece that we could put on the internet.
Yeah, and there's a lot of trust.
I did notice in the
lawyer.
Video you decided to call the lawyer like, you know, a few hours before you went to Pine Gap.
Yeah,
that's something I would have done, you know, a few weeks before going.
Well, I think the thing is we were going to do it anyway. So then it was like, we should probably check.
It's like the lawyer's just going to scare us. Like, yeah. I'd rather
Plus
go
you
in.
Have that, like, I don't know if it's a legal term, but the I didn't know of it all. You know, like, well, we just didn't know it was illegal, Your Honour. I don't know if that gets you off much, but I think I like to think that these Australian scamps clause in most laws.
Yeah, to be fair though, like we got legal advice. Now, lawyer's like a bit of a funny guy anyway. Like I feel like whatever happens to us, he'll get in trouble first. We got a recording of him like telling us to just fang the gates. Like as soon as it opens, just drive full speed up to the station. So
that's not good advice. That's not very good advice.
Yeah. Yeah. He also gave me advice on after the police raided my mum's house with a tampon gun, because a lot of my videos involve making things that could be considered weapons. He was like, no, don't stop. Keep doing it. And I was like, that's what I want. Thank you. No, is this legal advice?
He's an entrepreneur. It. The more dodgy stuff we do, the more like he gets to go to court.
That's
and
it.
It's have you guys ever thought about, I don't know, making meth and dealing it?
don't stop. Just do it. That's great. Is
I
your
sold
lawyer
meth
called
at a
Saul?
CIA base.
Another question from the Patreon is: what was it like spending that much time with friendly Geordies in the middle of the outback?
It was interesting. He's an interesting man. I don't know if it's like a really impressive man or like a psychopath, but he just doesn't have any fear of anything. And it's like,
it's very chill.
It's like slightly inspiring, but like mainly just like terrifying. I don't know. Like he was just always wanted to go further, was always like just chill about everything. And like, I don't know. I feel like if my house was firebombed, I'd probably call it quits. He's got something. Something special in him that, I don't know, yeah.
And I think as well, me and him were a bad combination, because it's like, I'm usually the kind of person that if someone's like, oh, I want to do this, I'll be like, oh, sick, okay, yeah, let's do it or do it more. And like, he was that kind of guy. And then Alexa's the opposite, where Alexa will be like, no, we shouldn't do it. So then it kind of calms us both down. Yeah. And Jordan was just like, he wanted to do way more.
He was a maximalist, yeah. He wanted to die.
He's like, if you guys go to the White House, I think we should just grab our katanas and run straight at it.
Naruto run at the White House.
Oh, great. Well, Alex and Alexa, thank you for joining us on Irrational Fear and telling us this incredible story. I am very grateful that you are not behind bars in a secret jail. If you do have to go into some kind of kangaroo court, you know, we've heard of Witness K and Witness J. Do you guys have a particular letter of the alphabet you'd like to be labelled for your secret trial?
Oh, my God. I've never thought of that.
No. I mean, you'd have to be AA, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Double A, that's odd.
Double
that's
A, good. Well, that's my initials. You can't have mine.
No, we'll be the same witness.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Well, double A.
Package deal.
Yeah, it's
double
cute.
A. Like the battery.
It's good. Yeah. You're not behind bars, but thank you for doing some community service and coming on this podcast. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I hope this
And counts. I really enjoy that, you know, this long conversation about how we've tied our kind of military fortunes to a great superpower. And today is the day where Congress has denied us one of our new nuclear submarines.
Oh, no. Which probably weren't going to work anyway if they were ever going to arrive at all.
It's like, do you think you guys might have had something to do with that? They're like, oh, hang on,
I
we just got invaded so. By this.
Yeah, that'd be amazing if we had some kind of impact.
I hate those submarines.
Yeah.
It's just us and America and Zanzibar who like these things.
I think it's only fair that if we do get the submarines, that every citizen of Australia, there's like a lottery.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get to have a go on the submarine.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. We're all paying for it.
Taxpayer money.
Yeah, come
Give
on.
Give me a go on the submarine, please.
Well, that is it for Irrational Fear for this week. Big thank you to Boy Boy. Do you guys want to plug anything?
No, I think you just did it. That was perfect. Made it sound better than I could.
Big thank you to Road Mics and our Patreon supporters and Jacob Brown on the Teppanyaki Timeline. Big thank you to you, Lewis.
Oh, thank you, Dan, and also to you. What a joy to be back and to get our big streak of 5 to 6 episodes in a row off the ground.
This is it, a big streak. Yeah, we've got one under the belt. See you next week.
We're like the UK office these days, you know. You'll get 10 episodes in your whole life. Enjoy them.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional, unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.